So the question we're pondering is, how do we handle the emotional threats of another person? What do we do, say, with the anger or disappointment or maybe even shame that someone directs our way? So when they point their finger at us, how do we respond? And of course, this can happen in either obvious or more subtle ways. I mean, they can actually point a finger at us or express their emotions in maybe some strongly worded accusation, or they can just leave some strong hints that are intended to hit their target without making themselves look bad. How do we navigate emotional threats? And it's often related to how we maybe have dealt with emotional threats when we were children. I know for me, thinking back on my childhood, I experienced what felt like a lot of threats from my mom as a young child. I mean, sometimes they were expressed in loud, angry, "Michael James," but other times it was just a look she gave me. And sometimes I just sensed her anger or disappointment and shame as she would get upset at someone else, particularly my brother Mark, my younger brother Mark, always getting in some type of trouble. My mom was always, it seemed like she was always yelling at him. And so even though it wasn't maybe directed at me, I could feel her wrath. And I would respond by running away and hiding in my room. And so I would do my best to try to avoid my mom, especially when she was on the warpath. So I navigated emotional threats by running away and hiding. And this was actually an approach that I carried into young adulthood. I remember a time during my very first ministry job. I'm on my last ministry job, my 10th ministry job right now, but my first ministry job was an associate pastor at a church in Kansas City, Missouri. I was just 23 years old, and the senior pastor named Dennis and I would meet every week for about an hour or so in his office on Monday morning. And the first year, I received just a lot of encouragement and affirmation from Dennis. But during my second year, there was a situation regarding the parents of a youth. I thought I'd handled the situation really well, but Dennis didn't think so. And he told me so. I mean, he was just like very direct with me, what felt to me like very critical and very upset. And for whatever reason, I was quite sensitive at the time. Maybe I've always been sensitive, I don't know. But I just kind of clammed up. And about that same time, Dennis had a car accident, and he was out of work for a number of weeks, and I had to take some more responsibility. But after he returned back to work, it seemed like I was always finding some way to avoid those Monday morning meetings. I always had something else. Chris couldn't meet. I don't know. It was similar to me, like running away, hiding in my room. I really don't want to talk to this guy really ever again much, but I know I have to from time to time. But for the next 4 months, before I actually left that church, not necessarily because of that reason, but I just did everything possible to avoid him. And looking back, I could see clearly it was not a healthy response to someone pointing a finger in my direction. With their anger or disappointment or shame. And in our first scripture today that Ashley so well read, there is finger pointing at Peter. I mean, it's of course a difficult time for Peter, a sensitive time for Peter. Jesus had just been arrested. Peter's friends have, Jesus and Peter's friends, they've all run away. And Peter's sitting in that courtyard outside the place where they're keeping Jesus, and the Jewish chief priest and the council have just said this about Jesus: he's guilty and deserves to die. And Peter's just heard this, and then this servant girl comes up to Peter, and I can imagine her pointing her finger right in his face, saying, "You were with Jesus from Galilee." And Peter's like in front of everyone saying, "You know, it isn't so. I don't know what you're talking about." And a few minutes later, the story goes that another servant girl does the same type of thing. You know, this man was with Jesus from Nazareth. And once again, Peter kind of is, in a sense, running away and hiding by saying, I don't even know that man. And then a little while later, some people standing there walk over to Peter, once again, kind of point their finger in his face, say, we know that you're one of them. We can tell it because you talk like someone from Galilee. And then Peter curses and swears and says, I don't know that man again. And then Peter leaves with tears in his eyes, knowing that he really did not respond very well to those fingers pointing at him. So the question, how should we handle the emotional threats of another person when someone's angry with us or disappointed in us or maybe shames us a bit? How do we respond to that finger that's pointing at us? As I talked last week, a few months ago, I read the book, The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. And as I read the book, I found a lot of wisdom in its pages. It's not rocket science, but she puts it in a way that was helpful to me. And her main thesis is this: when we're tempted to let others control us, we simply say, what do we say, Andy? No, what's the two words? Thank you, Linda. Let them. There we go. Just let them have their opinions. And this let them theory can really free us, that we can be free from the opinions, the trauma, the judgment of others. This is what Mel Robbins says in her book. She said, I had no idea how big a problem this was for me. And really, probably neither do you. From navigating guilt trips, to fearing disappointment, to worrying about someone's reaction, or if now's the right time, or, you know, tiptoeing around someone's mood, you're allowing other people's behaviors and reactions to drain your own energy. And she said it goes deeper than that. They're maybe passive-aggressive behavior or guilt trips or emotional outbursts are maybe even driving your decisions. So this is maybe why you say yes when you really want to say no. You cave when you should stand firm. That's why it's hard for you to set boundaries, why you walk on eggshells when certain people are in a bad mood. It feels easier in the moment to give in to that other person's guilt trip, but in the long run, she says, you lose a critical piece of yourself, that you'll always come last if you let other people's emotional immaturity have power over you. So instead of taking on the weight of someone's disappointment or anger or guilt, you learn a liberating new approach. You just let them react. That's right. So when you say let them, you give other people the space to feel their emotions without needing to fix them. And then you say let me, and you do what's right, even if it upsets someone, which is how you take responsibility for your own life. Now, Peter's response to the emotional finger pointing of the people in the courtyard was to let them intimidate him into lying and denying. And a few years later, though, he dealt with a difficult situation in a completely different way. Peter had just had this amazing experience in which he learned that God welcomed and affirmed non-Jewish people, these Gentiles. It was a real dramatic change from the way the followers of Jesus Christ initially related to non-Jewish Gentiles. So Peter, as a result, traveled to the headquarters of the movement, to Jerusalem, to share with them his newfound insights. But there, he found strong opposition to his message. Many people were pointing their finger in his face, saying, you stayed in the homes of Gentiles. You even ate with them. Now, instead of this time allowing them to intimidate him, Peter said, in a sense, let them. You can have your opinions about non-Jewish Gentiles, but let me tell you a story of what happened to me and what I've come to believe. And he tells then this story, and Linda was tempted to read that whole next scripture there, but she chose not to. That's fine, and because it gets to be long, it's a long story he tells the story of a vision. He has this vision of God encouraging him to have fellowship with Gentiles. And then he talked about meeting this Gentile, Cornelius, and his family. And when they were meeting, the Holy Spirit just came upon everybody gathered there. And Peter then says to these folks here later on, God gave those Gentiles the same gift that he gave us when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. So how could I have gone against God? And because Peter, at this point, did not allow himself to be intimidated by the finger pointing, by the emotional threats, Peter was able to convince those leaders in Jerusalem to open their doors to non-Jewish Gentiles. And they stopped arguing, it's the scripture says. They started actually praising God, and they said, God has now let Gentiles turn to God. God has given life to them. You know, Peter navigated the emotional threats and that finger pointing using "let them" and then speaking his truth. Well, I know the ministry over the years has given me many opportunities to utilize the "let them" theory in handling emotional threats. I remember a story, actually it was about a year or two after that bad experience with my senior pastor, Dennis. I was now the associate pastor at a church in Hammond, Indiana, in the mid-80s. And my main responsibility was once again the youth of the church. And I remember it was my first fall there. Five of the parents of the youth were working with me to help start lead a new group of youth. So they hadn't done much in youth ministry prior to that, and they were these parents who were willing to help me out. And one of the parents, Linda, I noticed just kept yelling at, or I don't know, getting upset at the kids. It was like the youth just couldn't do anything good enough, you know, to please her, and always disciplining some kid about something. Well, soon, of course, then the youth started complaining to me about her heavy-handed behavior. And then the four other parents who were working with me on this, they came to me and they said, Mike, we'd love to help you, continue helping you with this youth group, but we are not going to help at all if Linda is involved as a leader. I mean, she's just not good for the kids. Well, I was tempted to want to run away from that problem, like, hey, you guys just handle Linda, you know, but it's like, I just knew I needed to face this head on. I needed to talk with Linda. So when we got together, I suggested maybe she seemed a bit overwhelmed. Maybe she needed a little break from leading the youth. And she didn't take well to what I had to say. And the next thing I know, Linda's storming out of my office. And a few minutes later, though, she steps back in and, oh, I don't know, from distance between here and those doors there, takes her keys and literally just kind of throws them at me. And then the following Sunday, during our youth group, she wasn't there, Linda wasn't there, but her husband shows up. And this guy is like, I don't know. And he gets me off to the side and, you know, against the wall and like, Mike, I can't believe what you've done to my wife. You need to change, you know, you need to let her provide leadership for this group, and you have just, you know, I don't know. So I later my wife said, his name happened to be Mac. And so later my wife, Lori, said, you know, it's just a Big Mac attack. but it was, I mean, it was just a lot of this. And I think he showed up the next Sunday night as well. And, you know, just with these finger-pointing emotional threats, and I was actually a bit scared because he was physically that big and he just had that kind of, these days you'd say like a Trumpy or a MAGA type of personality, I don't know. But I knew I had to just let him, them have their emotional response and not back down and not allow him to intimidate me. So I was able to stay strong. I mean, we ended up having just an amazing youth program. These same four adults worked with me for the next, I don't know, 6 years and just had a great youth program. Mel Robbins summarizes it this way. She says, never let someone else's emotional reactions keep you from making the hard decisions. So how do we handle those emotional threats? What do we do with that anger, with that disappointment when someone points their finger in our way? I invite you to consider just saying, let them have the space to experience their own emotions, but then finding the courage to make those right decisions, even if it's gonna feel wrong to others, to continue to act in a way that aligns with your own values, regardless of whether it makes someone else upset. And so the two words that Mel Robbins encourages us to practice, Andy, is?
Let them.
Thank you. Okay. God help us, let them.